Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine a young child playing hide and seek. When it's his turn to be the seeker, he counts carefully and then launches into the search. He throws open a closet door and upon finding no one announces, "I've found you, I win, game over." That's obviously foolish. And yet, it is precisely how many Christians treat God. They find him, or feign finding him, where he is not. "Don't put God in a box," they say. And so they refuse to look in boxes, in means, in the places where God has promised to be. Instead, they prefer to find him where it is most convenient for themselves. So it was with the Jews. By the first century, many of them had given up the earnestness of looking for a Messiah, hoping, waiting. Maybe they feigned interest. Maybe some were still genuinely looking, but they were looking in all the wrong places. So when the true and promised Messiah came to them, not only did they not believe him, they committed egregious blasphemy, accusing the very Son of God of being possessed by a demon because he spoke in ways that only the Messiah could. Jesus has a peculiar interaction with these Jews who, verses earlier in chapter 8, John says, were those believing in him. He asks questions, and then he answers his own questions with stinging rebukes. First, a verbal rebuke. "The reason you do not understand what I say is that you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires, lying and murdering. The reason you cannot bear to hear my words, the words of God, is that you are not of God. It is my Father who glorifies me, but you have not known him. If I were to say I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. Before Abraham was, I am." That's harsh enough. Then the next rebuke, which is entirely nonverbal. "Jesus went out and hid himself." They were so inept at finding the Messiah who was in their midst, before them, teaching them, catechizing them, that Jesus hid himself, made himself more difficult to find. But hidden is not absent. He did not leave. It just means you have to know where to look. The problem is being like the Jews and looking in all the wrong places and finding messiahs where the true Messiah is quite obviously not there. How many Christians reject the born again of holy baptism in only to invent their own kind of being born again when they give their hearts, their lives, etc. to Jesus? How many Christians reject the specific locatedness of Jesus' real body and blood in the Lord's Supper and yet try to feel his presence in their lives in more elusive ways, ways he has not promised to be, in their hearts, walking with them, appearing in their dreams? how many Christians reject Jesus' forgiveness in holy absolution. Because who really wants to have to deal with his sins in any real, practical, spoken way? When it's much more convenient to fling open the closet door of your private devotions and announce yourself forgiven. It's no more foolish than the made-up child who's terrible at hide-and-seek, or the Jews who commit blasphemy by accusing Jesus of having a demon. If Jesus has not promised to be somewhere, you are a fool for looking for him there. And more so, for saying you found him there. But hidden is not absent. It just means you need to know where to look. And Jesus is not coy. He will absolutely, clearly tell you where to find him. Today begins Passiontide. And it seems exceedingly peculiar to those outside and many on the inside to be putting veils over our crosses and icons, and if we had them, statues. For that matter, it seems weird to stop singing joyful alleluias for 67 days of pre-Lent and Lent to those in other Christian traditions. But not every time is a season for rejoicing. And sometimes we have to train ourselves during comfortable times in order to be prepared for the hard times which are coming. If life is all feasting and never fasting, how will you endure the famine to come? If it's alleluias 24/7, it's easy to miss the ascending power of Babylon outside and the looming exile of the church. If we never veil our crosses, you might think that in looking at these reminders of the crucified Lord, you could find him there. Unlike the Jews, from whom Jesus hid himself so that he would not be found, Jesus hides himself in means for you, so that you may know where precisely to find him. You, Christian, cannot put God in a box, sure, but that's not a Bible verse, no matter how many well-meaning people quote it to you. But when God places himself in a box, you'd have to be downright foolish or arrogant or altogether faithless to refuse to find him there. This is why Luther says, "When I urge you to go to confession, I'm simply urging you to be a Christian." Or elsewhere, "I would not consider anyone a Christian who did not go to the sacrament." Finding Jesus where he has promised to be is simply what Christians do. Receiving his gifts as he packages them up and delivers them is the very substance of faith. Faith says yes. It is the amen to God's gifts. Let the veiling of crosses and icons in Passiontide remind you that it's fruitless to search for Jesus even in these places. Jesus isn't there, not even on the cross. Though we find great joy and comfort in a crucifix which preaches Christ crucified to us and for us, Jesus isn't there. He is rather in his appointed means of grace. Luther preached, "If you want the forgiveness of sins, don't go to Calvary. On Calvary, forgiveness is won, but it's not delivered. If you want forgiveness of sins, go to the rail. Forgiveness is not won there, but it is delivered there. It is where Jesus has promised to be for you." This way of working, of delivering forgiveness through means, through the pastors he sends to you, through word and water and bread and wine, is for you and for your good. Baptism is an otherworldly encounter with a triune God, not some mere ritual to be performed on children for the photo op or to make grandma happy. It is real death and resurrection, an eternal status change, a holy war between God and Satan in which he makes a lifelong claim on you and you make a binding resolution of the devil and all his works and all his ways. Despite the joke, private confession is not for bad sinners, not when Christians do some egregiously large sin. It's for Christians, period, full stop, for you. It doesn't burden you, it heals you. It deepens your piety and your relationship with Jesus. It delivers forgiveness. It calms your conscience. It drives away the devil. It surely and certainly as Jesus gives his promise, forgives your sins. It is an intimate one-on-one encounter with the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. The Lord's Supper is no mere memorial meal. It is the very body and blood of Jesus, hidden yet present under bread with wine, on a plate and in a cup, with the certainty that you may find the crucified and risen Lord there and receive him, and that in the eating and drinking of his body and blood, he delivers what he obtained on the cross, forgiveness of sins. These are the places where God is hidden for you, and where, therefore, you may be absolutely certain that you will find him. And not just find him and wonder if he will help you or destroy you, whether he will be merciful or angry, but know that he has hidden himself in these places always for your good, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, for the endurance that you need to live this Christian life in an ever hostile world, a culture permanently beset against the Lord and his church. He hides himself in these sure and certain means so that you may know exactly where to find him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.